This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. Do you have a plumbing emergency? Call Four Seasons. An electrical emergency? Call Four Seasons. A heating or cooling emergency? Call Four Seasons. Same day hot water tank installation needed? Call Four Seasons. Need a whole home generator? Call Four Seasons. We guarantee same day installation on all heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical needs. And no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Chicago winters can be brutal. Snow, ice, freezing temps. If you're thinking, driving in this weather, I need a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban, or the sporty, city-friendly Trax, perfect for navigating winter streets? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to handle winter like a pro. Don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate your nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Winter roads demand a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, we had Nick Caserio on a little bit earlier in the show. We talked to him for about 45 minutes. You can find that on the Odyssey app, on the Rewind feature, on the Payne and Pendergast podcast, however you want to listen to it. We've got some cuts for you here, though, if you want some of the excerpts. I love the answer that he gave to one of your questions, Seth. It was just sort of a follow-up to the combine questions we were asking him. We asked him about what you're looking for when you're interviewing guys in the combine, and you asked a specific question about D linemen. I don't want to frame it the wrong way. What was your question to him again about?
I basically wondered whether the biggest disconnect between meetings and how a guy actually is on the defensive line.
That's right.
Because so many defensive linemen, so many good defensive linemen just have a screw loose and don't necessarily, aren't the kinds of guys that are going to do great in formal interview settings. And so I wondered if, do we get a little bit of a lower bar for expectations in meetings with defensive linemen?
Right. So that Nick answered the question, and I thought it led into a great sequence about what exactly the Texans are looking for in players and maybe where they give themselves some latitude in guys that are maybe a little bit, you know, a little bit different. Here's what he had to say.
We don't want just a bunch of choir boys walking through this building. Like, you need an edge. Anybody that watches us play on defense sees that we play fast, we play physical, we play with an edge, to the consternation of some people, apparently, you know, throughout the course of the league. But you play, when you play defense, you play with your hair on fire and you play with an edge. And you want the other team to feel you. So who are the players that have those qualities? You could be a maniac on the football field, and then off the field, you could be one of the best guys ever and you want to go hang out with and have a beer or bring to church or whatever it is. And we have a number of players like that. And I would say there's no more embodiment of that than our head coach. The best human being, the best person ever. Everybody loves him. He's got a tremendous way about him. When he's on a football field, I mean, you played with him. I mean, he played physical. He plays with an edge. He coaches with energy. He has passion. Like, that's what football is about. So who are the players that have those qualities? And really, it transcends both sides of the ball. You want guys like that offensively. You need guys like that in a kicking game. So you want to build a football team with players that have a certain mindset, that play a certain way, that are good people, that are going to represent the Houston Texans, the community, in the right way, that we can all be proud of. So our job is to identify who are those players. And if he has a little bit something that maybe makes him different or puts him on the edge, all right, can you deal with it? And are you comfortable? Because, again, when you draft the player or sign the player, you're taking everything that comes along with them, and you're either going to be comfortable with it or you're not.
Yeah, I thought that was a great synopsis of how they look at guys. You know,
it's the Charles Haley doctrine is what that is.
Yep,
that's the the most notable thing about that was
he's an extreme example, but yes,
yeah. No, the most notable thing about all of this is that nobody ever bats an eyelash or thinks twice about it when we talk about, all right, how do you want a D'Amico Ryan's football team to look? Oh, yeah, the defense. That's the way. Oh, yeah, those guys, the way they play. There's very little of that on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
You've got, if we take the quarterback out of it, because that's a whole different dynamic, if you take Nico Collins and Joe Mixon, that's pretty much it. Like, okay, those are the guys that kind of play with their hair on fire and look like they get an edge, and you're like, oh yeah, I want that guy with me in a bar fight. Very few bar fight guys on the offensive side of
agreed,
the ball.
Agreed.
They've done a great job of it on defense. On offense, they got a bunch of nice guys.
Yeah.
And that's where, I mean, some of that can be brought out with coaching, but some of it's just got to be the kinds of guys that you have on the roster. But the culture of the defense is so drastically different than the culture of the offense.
And I saw that answer as almost a tacit acknowledgement of that. You know, that yeah. Nick went straight to the defense, which is great, but the offense needs to get on that level, obviously from a productivity standpoint, but I'm with you. I think from a cultural standpoint as well, I think there's a disconnect with the offense. Certainly not the connection that there is with the defense. So that was good. No choir boys. I like that. That's the second time he said that on this show. He's been coming on with us, Nick, has for about 4 years now. That's the second no choir boys we've gotten out of him in 4 years.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
He said it early on.
The all-time best no choir, they don't have to be choir boys type of statement was when, what did Bob McNair say when he was talking about guys with potential character issues or off-field concerns? It was, you know, if we found out they smoked a marijuana cigarette at some point.
Yeah, kind of categorized it.
It's not that big a deal. You know, we can work with that. But I think he said marijuana cigarette,
yes,
which I loved.
I love that. That's great. Text message. Last year in the regular season, the Texans were 10-7. Diggs played 8 games. They were 6-2 with Diggs. 4-5 without Diggs. Yeah, I think there's a correlation there. I don't know that there's a correlation enough to where you have to bring Diggs back. Like, I think there's other players you can bring in to where you would have been 6-2 in those first 8 games last
right.
year. You know?
I can't remember. Was Stephon Diggs 31 years old coming off of an ACL injury last year?
He's not.
Jog my memory a little bit.
He was not. Nope, he definitely
So it doesn't
not.
Have to be Diggs, but yes, it's I think that person was probably just in response to the one texter who said to kick Diggs out the door.
Yeah.
I totally 100%. I have zero bad memories about Stephon Diggs. Did the trade work out perfectly? Obviously not. But I'm still cool with the trade because what they intended to bring into the building, I think they got. It wasn't because of a lack of performance by Stephon Diggs that the offense couldn't take off.
Right.
The team told us in their actions a couple weeks ago that Bobby Slowick was at least a big part of the problem. And then there's other things that need to be cleaned up. But yeah, Stephon Diggs wasn't the problem. And he could have been one of the potential solutions with the way he was playing. He was playing fine.
Yeah, he was playing good. He was playing really well. Here's Nick Caserio. We asked him about is there an extension, a possible contract extension on the table for Derek Stingley Jr.?
We're always open-minded. You know, we'll have dialogue at any different point, you know, when it's appropriate. I mean, Derek's he's one of the best corners in the league. I don't think this is like some mystery here. So Derek's a good football player. He's improved, I would say, quite a bit from his rookie season to where he is now. So, you know, if we have the opportunity to keep a really good football player here for a period of time, you know, it's certainly something that we're going to explore. Those things take time. Nothing comes to fruition all at once. But, you know, Derek's earned the opportunity here. So when those conversations and the time's appropriate, you know, we'll engage in that dialogue. I think Derek's made some comments, the fact that he wants to be here for, you know, a long period of time. And, you know, we want Derek to be here. So, but nothing's really linear. These are never linear. It's just A to B. So, but it takes a little bit of work, takes a little discussion, but he's eligible. And, you know, when the time's appropriate, you know, we'll engage with his representation. But glad Derek's here, you know, and hopefully we can keep him as a Houston Texan here for, you know, for a long time.
I think there's a couple things that Nick has done a good job of since he's been here that make these things less dramatic than they are in other places. One is that the Texans keep most things very close to the vest. There aren't a lot of leaks. Ever since Jack Easterby left the building, ironically enough, or interestingly enough, there haven't been a lot of leaks yeah. about stuff like that.
Great point. Yes.
Yeah. And so there's that. And then on the player side of things, too, we haven't had players other than Steven Nelson. Steven Nelson was the only guy that's really agitated for things and maybe said things out of turn in the offseason while these negotiations are going on. So there doesn't tend to be a lot of drama about it. You know, last year, Nico Collins said everything perfectly yeah. in the rare instances that he talked about it. He just flat out said, I'm not thinking about it. My agent will take care of that. It'll come when it comes. I'm not worried about it. And then lo and behold, they got an extension. But the other thing too, is that they've set this precedent where they'll give guys nice deals as extensions, but they're shorter term. Yep. And the player, from the player's standpoint, hey, it's a lot of money guaranteed up front. That's nice. From the team's perspective, they're not on the hook forever if it doesn't work out. Mm-hmm. And they've done that with multiple guys now. You know, Nico Collins' deal was 1 year shorter than a lot of the other wide receiver extensions. Yeah. Laremy Tunsil's done it a couple times where it's a shorter-term deal.
Yep.
I think that it might end up looking very similar like that with Derek Stingley. It's a three-year extension as opposed to a four-year extension.
Yeah, I don't know that Nick has done longer than a three-year deal with anybody. You know, I'm obviously, other than your draft picks who are all signed up, it's collectively bargained that those are four-year deals, but I don't know that with a free agent or in re-extending any of their own guys that they've gone any longer than 3 years on anybody.
It's the way football is moving, and it makes sense because of the injury factor.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many variables when a guy, in terms of either aging or injury, just plummets off a cliff all of a sudden.
Yes.
So many really, really good players that all of a sudden you look up and, wow, oh, wow, he's just not that great anymore.
Yep.
So it's not like you're singling one guy out as, well, we don't trust you long term. It's just the reality of the way the NFL is that you've got to have a shorter time horizon than in baseball or basketball.
That's interesting that you bring up Nico Collins and his contract, the way he handled things last year, because Derek Stingley Jr., in that same interview that Nick cited in that answer, where Stingley said he wanted to be a Texan for the rest of his career, actually, in that interview, Stingley cited Nico as a guy who, like, yeah, you know, Nico was a guy who, like me, comes to the building every day during the offseason and works. And look, he got rewarded. I'm totally paraphrasing here. But he pointed out Nico Collins and the way Nico went about his business in the building, in the weight room, and things like that, you know, physically with a guy. You know, Stingley was clearly equating that to being a reason that Nico got the deal that he did. So I would expect Stingley, who's a guy of few words anyways, like Stingley, I don't know that he agitates for anything, contracts or a table at a restaurant. You know what I mean? Like, he's just a totally mellow guy. I'm expecting him to get a contract extension this offseason.
I think so. And I think the other part of it, just as it was with Nico, is if a guy's had injury concerns in the past, they want to look at it and see, all right, has this guy... did he just get lucky that he was healthy this year, or was it because he learned about really how to take care of his body, how to handle an NFL season, all of that? And I think there's an element to that with Stingley of just getting the right routine, figuring out how to recover between games and all of that, to where it feels more, it doesn't feel like just dumb luck that he was healthy this last season. And it's also nice, too, that it wasn't his actual contract year where all of a sudden he stayed healthy. There's nothing scarier than that.
No.
The guy that all of a sudden in his contract year is healthy all of a sudden, and like that's a guy that you just wonder about in the his motivation for the long term.
Yeah, for those who don't know, Stingley's 3 years in. He's got another year next year, and my guess is they're going to exercise his fifth-year option for 2 years from now. That decision comes in a couple of months. That shows you how good Nico was this last year, Seth, and how that contract, even at $24 million a year, was worth it this past season. The dude missed 5.5 games, and nobody is out there saying, like, bad contract, not worth it. Like, he's so good in the other 11.5 games.
But you know what? We shouldn't ignore it, though, too, that it is, man, it's a pretty extensive injury history now for a young receiver.
Yep.
And when I start thinking like, no, all you need is Nico and one complimentary receiver, like, okay, but there's going to be games most likely where Nico's not available.
Yep. Let's see here. When do we text message Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line? When do we need to handle Stroud's contract? Some of it will depend on how he plays this year. I expect he's going to play well, in which case the norm is for a highly functioning quarterback 3 years into his rookie deal. They get deals after they get their big extension. They get their big extension after the third year. It doesn't start to get painful for another couple of years. A lot of it's backloaded. But yeah, this will be this time next year. If we're not having a conversation this time next year, Seth, about C.J. Stroud's contract, something went horribly wrong in the 2025 season.
Right, and a lot of it, you know, that's the way the NFL is these days, and it doesn't mean that's the way it should be or anything else like that. It's just that's the way it works, and part of it is the economics of it, just that if you kick the can down the road continually with your quarterback, it ends up really being a cap headache because the franchise tag is really, really expensive. The deal that they're going to get as the cap expands, the deals are really, really expensive. And you look at the Cowboys and where they are. I mean, Dak Prescott this year, you know, they're a team that kicks the can down the road. He's got a 40, what's his cap hit this year? Is it 47 million?
No.
It's really big.
Dude, it's big. It's like over 80
million.
Oh, it's 89
million.
$89 million.
Yeah,
it's massive.
Right. So the teams get into that third year, and they're at this point where, all right, we either pay him now, and even if you don't feel awesome about it, if he does work out, then we're not in this position where he's got a $90 million cap figure at some point down the road.
Right, right.
You know, so that's – and they've done this a couple times now with Dak Prescott. This time it's not his franchise it's off of his last deal.
Yeah.
The first time around it was – they didn't extend it. He ended up getting that same huge – he got the huge deal the next year, and it was way more expensive than it would have been.
A text message. That's my GM talking about Roger Clemens' big ass.
Yeah.
He brought that
and Nolan
up.
Ryan.
And Nolan Ryan,
Well, Nolan Ryan was one of the first pitchers to be hardcore into weightlifting.
Yep.
Yeah.
It worked out
Clemens
pretty well.
Had a big ass.
We got that as a cut.
Clemens had a big ass.
As a hotkey, I love that.
Yeah, when I made one of my infamous name swap errors, and I said Jalen Hurts, I said Jaden Daniels when I meant Jalen Hurts, and we were talking about lower body strength.
Well,
Jaden Daniels is not a guy I think of when I think of like massive lower body.
No, it was a good thing that those two are so different.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I probably would have just, you know, I would have just rolled with it. I'm like, he must be talking about so and so. But
yeah,
like, Jaden Daniels is like a you know, like rail thin.
Good job catching me on that one, Sean. Sean, I never get offended when you correct me when I'm wrong. I get offended when you correct me and you're wrong.
Yeah.
That's when I get offended. I'll try to be more tolerant because I know that puts a lot of pressure on you.
Well, when it often happens, it did the other day it happened, it's because I don't hear you correctly. There's a lot of stuff going on in the studio. When it happened the other day, Reggie and John are coming in, Byron's in my ear, and I misheard you about the Daniel Jones thing. So it's cool. Like
No, I got to remember that you're trying. It's not like you're being a jerk about it or anything. You're trying to help me out. And I got to remember that.
You asked me to do that, you know?
I asked you to do it when I need correcting.
Right.
But I need to understand that there's times when you're correcting me where you're inaccurately correcting me.
Right.
And yet it still is ultimately a Seth problem. It's because I do need correcting because I screw up names.
I'm not perfect either. So that's the thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Everybody texting in trade for Garrett Wilson. I want to put a stop to it. They're not trading for Garrett Wilson. I respect you listening to the show and inquiring and bringing it up and let's spitball a little bit. But I just want to I want to crush your dreams right now. They're not trading multiple first round picks to pay $32 million to a wide receiver. They're not doing that. The Texans.
Oh, I hope they trade for Garrett Wilson this afternoon.
Now. Oh, don't get me wrong. I do too.
No. Not for the sake of the team, just so you can be wrong.
I know.
That's all.
Yeah. It'd be good. It'd be good. Are people memeing me and stuff like that? Man, I'm not about right or wrong. I'm about the absolute value of the emotion that you drive with people. Yeah, I hope I'm wrong on it. That'd be fun.
I wonder if Jaden Daniels does come back thick next year. That'd be pretty. If he came back like 15 pounds heavier.
Would you even notice? I guess you would if he's that bird rail thin. Like, it's a little like Bregman. Like, remember last year, like, Alex Bregman put on 25 pounds. I'm like, he looks exactly the same.
Oh, I'm so tired of the Alex Bregman bogus weight reports. It was in any given year. Oh, he's lost 20 pounds. No, this year he gained 20. That dude's too small for 25 pounds not to look different. You can't, when you're that small, if you gain 25 pounds, I'm going to freaking notice it. So don't lie to me and tell me you gained 25 pounds.
We got
to
plant that with Ted up there and get Ted forwarding that narrative and get everybody agitated about it up in Boston. The Alex Bregman weight theme. All right. One more from Casario in the next segment, and it's about C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud's offseason has looked a little different this year than it did this time last year. We asked Nick Casario about that. We'll hear from the Texans GM coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
It's an interesting text here that we got on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. We'll hear from Nick Casario in just a second on C.J. Stroud's offseason. The question is, it's 2021 text in. Are players excited to be drafted by the Texans?
That's a really good question in that, A, yes, I think they are, and B, I don't think they always were. There would definitely have been a phase a couple of years back where they wouldn't have been excited about getting drafted to the Texans. Now, offensively and defensively, I think you look at it as a team that, A, on offense, has a good quarterback. And yes, they underperformed last year, at least according to what they were on paper. But people are still very high on C.J. Stroud. It's really hard to find anybody anywhere that looks at last year's season and thinks, oh, yep, that's just proof that C.J. Stroud is overrated or anything. I think people are still very much intrigued by C.J. Stroud. Now, obviously, as opposing fan bases, they're all going to tell you that C.J. Stroud sucks. But amongst the people that watch the film and everything. And then on the defensive side of the ball, if I'm a defensive player and I get drafted to the Texans and if I actually watch the NFL, hell yeah. Oh, my God, yeah. Because for one, they do a lot of things that pop off the screen when you're just scrolling through and watching NFL Red Zone or what have you. You got defensive backs that have had a boatload of interceptions. You've got a really good pass rush by the edge rushers. So if I'm a defensive tackle that goes there or anywhere in the defensive backfield, I look at that as a place that's going to be fun to play and that they get a lot out of their players.
Yes. The Texans defensively should have their pick of the litter in free agency every year, Seth, of the guys that were like Tyrann Mathieu back in 2018. The guys who are either coming off of injury or maybe they're a free agent at a position that's a little top-heavy and overloaded and they're not getting what they think they should get. All the guys that are thinking, I'm going to go get a one-year deal and prove that I'm worth more than that. Kind of like what Dalton Schultz did on the offensive side of the ball. But I think Honey Badger is more the analogy because it's the defensive side. And they should, especially in the front seven and especially on the defensive line, if you're a defensive lineman who's a free agent who thinks you're worth more than what the market is telling you you're worth, you should come to the Houston Texans.
They've got a track record of getting these guys paid or getting better contracts or whatever it might be.
Yes.
So, yes, there's that. And then I think even we talked a couple of days ago about Justin Reed and, you know, amongst former Texans that are free agents, who left under acrimonious circumstances where they weren't getting along with the team.
Yep.
Justin Reed left, and he's never said a peep bad about the Texans since or anything. He's a free agent. I don't think the Chiefs are going to be able to retain him. I would think Justin Reed would love the opportunity to come back and play in Houston. Now, that doesn't mean the Texans are going to go after him, but his ability to play all over the place, added to Kalen Bullock as a free safety, and then also having Jalen Petrie playing in that star position, that would be with those two cornerbacks.
Oof.
That could be a whole lot of fun.
Yeah,
a lot of fun.
Yeah, he's probably a guy that's a little pricey for the Texans, but the way you lay that out, putting money aside briefly and just envisioning that, holy crap, he was really good for the Chiefs those 3 years. Like Justin Reed played very well for them.
And a lot of the things that the Chiefs are able to do defensively, it's when you've got guys like Justin Reed who are versatile but also super smart and can line up all over the place and can disguise and do a lot of things that really give offenses headaches.
Mm.
He would be a lot of fun to have on this defense. Yeah. I don't think it's going to happen, but I think because the original question was, are guys excited to find out they're drafted by the Texans? I think likewise with free agents, as you've been saying, I think a lot of free agents, especially on the defensive side of the ball, but also on the offensive side of the ball, just because of the presence of C.J. Stroud.
Yes, no doubt. No doubt about that. All right, speaking of C.J. Stroud, here was Nick Caserio. We asked him, hey, C.J., this time last year was coming off of a Radio Row appearance, went to the Pro Bowl, was very out there doing interviews, which the Texans don't have big issues with or anything like that. But it looks like, at least early on, that CJ is attacking the offseason a little bit different. What can you tell us about that?
I think CJ's work ethic is unmatched. He cares a lot about football, has a lot of confidence and belief in himself. And there's some things that we've talked to him about that, hey, here's two or three things that, you know, we think you can focus on in the offseason. So whenever that clock starts, the clock starts. But we have a number of players that are usually, they start to come in the building in February and train on their own, because we really, the offseason doesn't start until April 21st. But by the same token, if you want to be good at your job, you have to invest time and energy into being good at your job. So in the end, it's about the work. So everything starts with the work. So you got to just show up, continue to improve, put one foot in front of the other, try to stack days on top of days. We have a number of players in here. A lot of players are rehabbing and kind of going through the offseason, sort of that process. But then we have some other players that are going to be here on their own training. We have every resource that a player needs right here in our building. So our staff, who's with the players on a daily basis, we got more data that we can shake a stick at so we can monitor everything. So we have everything that the player, we feel that we have everything that the players need here in our building. So we're excited to get started. And whenever they show up, and hopefully they're ready to work with the right mindset. But CJ will be ready to go. I would expect him to have a good offseason and get himself ready to go for the 25 season. So we can all go out there and hopefully have a successful season.
What did you wince at, Sean? I saw you wince.
I thought there were two things. There was I was going to ask you, actually, when he said, yeah, we gave CJ two or three things to work on in the offseason, I was going to ask you if you had to give CJ Stroud two or three things to work on this offseason, what they would be. The part that you're thinking about, that last part there almost felt like it was a sales pitch to the guys who don't work out here in the offseason.
Yeah.
To come work out here in the offseason. Where he's like, I don't know why he would tell Payne and Pendergast that they've got every resource in the building and they've got all the trainers and they've got everything else. It's because the pitch of his voice went up a little bit at the end.
He was
very emphatic about all the resources they have in the building there, because we know there are several Houston Texans that choose to work on their own.
I'm going to answer your first question in a minute. I'll let my subconscious work on it while I also bring up what caught my ear. It was when he talked about they have every resource that they need. Yeah. He also answered a question that a lot of you have asked and that I've had myself. He talked about the VR goggles that Jaden Daniels has been using, or the VR, the virtual reality training system that Jaden Daniels has been using. And I asked him about that on behalf of you, dear listener.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing he said was that he said two really interesting things. He said that if a player wants a resource, we'll try to go out and get it for him. But he also said it's with a lot of those things, especially with the VR, it comes down to whether the player himself actually likes it or not. So this would be a good question for CJ the next time somebody gets a chance to talk to him. Because like with VR, if you have any experience with virtual reality at all, you know that some people respond to it differently than others. I mean, some people, it gives them vertigo and headaches and everything. You just don't respond to it well. There's others when it comes to the actual functional use of it where some guys just don't like it. And Caserio told a really funny story about Tom Brady almost throwing the headset away because he disliked it so much. It sounded to me like if it was something that CJ wanted, they would probably go out and get it, and maybe they've had that conversation with him. But for those of you who don't know, Jaden Daniels works with a virtual reality system that LSU actually developed alongside these German scientists who had already done it for soccer, and it's been very, very good for Jaden Daniels. As far as what to work on, I think a lot of it with CJ is as much about the balancing of playing within scheme versus when to improvise or when to pull it down and run.
Mm-hmm.
Nick alluded to the fact that CJ got better at taking the easy money as the season went on. That's something we saw and noticed. He was getting more comfortable just checking the ball down, and he was better with that. So I think that's a big part of it. And a lot of that is just mental reps of just kind of really in going through game situations and knowing when you need to be aggressive or when it's best to just take the easy money. That's a lot of that stuff that there's almost, I think CJ knows all that stuff intellectually. It's just a matter of getting the reps in.
Yeah.
And he showed progress with that this year. He just needs to keep getting better at
well,
it.
Well, and with the new OC, I mean, obviously one of the things you're working on is getting in that new playbook, you know, learning the terminology right. And things like that. It's
well,
gonna be-
and I think some of it, too, is with Slowik, some of the issue was that they would do things that were later developing, and CJ's trying to balance out, like, all right, do I wait for this to develop? But do I trust the pass protection while I'm waiting for all of that? And that's what makes it really, really hard. It's like learning how to be a marksman. Okay, that's one thing. Now be a marksman from a galloping horse.
Right.
And it felt like he was riding a galloping horse as he's trying to make all these decisions this year.
Yep.
Everything's unstable because the pass protection was so shoddy.
Yep. All right, if you missed it, we had Nick Caserio on. As you can tell, we played some of that audio about 2 hours ago. You can listen to it on the Odyssey app, listen to it on our podcast. Good interview, good conversation. I know I've already talked to Reggie and John. They've got points from that interview that they're going to be hitting on their show, so we'll be revisiting that all day long here on Sports Radio 610. Up next, if you missed it earlier, the drama for our good friend, our departed friend, Alex Bregman, has not been tamped down at all in Boston. He's learning he's got a new set of teammates big time up in Boston. We've got the audio to prove it. We'll have that for you coming up next. Real quick, also, Slam Dunk in Vegas contest. Listen for an hour a day. If you haven't heard about this contest, listen up right now. Hour a day on Sports Radio 610 on the Odyssey app, and you could win a contest for you and three friends to go to Circa in Vegas for the College Basketball Championship Tournament. How great does that sound? Extra $20,000 in your pocket to spend while you're there. Just download the Odyssey app, listen for an hour each day, and you'll get your daily entry in the Slam Dunk to the Slam Dunk in Vegas contest.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes.
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast, final segment. We'll talk to the guys on In the Loop in just a minute. If you missed it earlier, we only hit this one time. We'll hit it again here. We've been Caserio heavy on the show today, rightfully so. Good conversation with the Texans GM a little bit earlier on the show. You can get it on the Payne and Pendergast podcast on the Odyssey app. Alex Bregman's been in Boston, but with the Red Sox for just a few days now. And the first 3 days have had a little drama swirling around them. Rafael Devers does not want to give up his position at third base.
No.
He was even asked about moving to DH. What did he say?
No.
Said no. So Bregman, we'll hear from Bregman in a second on this. Bregman is handling it exactly how you would think he's handling it. But the gasoline that got thrown on the fire yesterday, at least from our view here, maybe this is normal up in Boston, I don't know. But Tristan Casas, the first baseman for the Red Sox, was asked about this position struggle between Bregman and Rafael Devers over who's going to play third base right now, and was asked his take on it. I think 99.9% of players would have said, not my job, above my pay grade. That's Alex Cora's job.
Whatever the team, whatever is best for the team is what's going to happen.
Exactly.
And just, yep.
Tristan Casas, for purposes of content, this is fantastic. He actually had an actual take on it here.
I think it's Rafi Devers' position. I think he's the third baseman, and at that point, that's where it stands. And he's done it for, you know, a really long time now. And I think he's only getting better at that position. I think his defense is getting better every single year. We don't know what the future holds, but we know it holds Rafi Devers. So I think he's got to play defense. It's going to keep him athletic. And he's going to hit because of, you know, him being at third base. He doesn't know any other position. He doesn't want to play any other position. And he's going to fight for it, even if it's with any of the younger guys, any new guy. I think he's the best third baseman in the league. I wouldn't take anybody over him. So I think he should play third base, yeah.
So you think Bregman should play second? Plays third.
I think Bregman should play second base. Yeah, I think he's going to make the transition well. I think he's athletic enough too, and I think Trevor, you know, is going to play an awesome shortstop.
Okay, I get the spirit of it. You know, Casas has been a teammate of Devers for a much longer time than he's been a teammate of Alex Bregman. He's been a teammate
three
of Bregman
three and a half years.
Yeah, three and a half years versus 3 days for Bregman. So I understand the sentiment. It's an awful take. He's not getting better defensively every year.
He's not getting better defensively. He's not the best third baseman in the league. He's the best hitter who plays third base.
Yes.
He's bad defensively. It doesn't... They're, the best thing for the Red Sox is for Bregman to play third base. Mm-hmm. And that's all there is to it. This is... I guess Casas is a guy that just will not stop talking about anything and everything all the time. And it's starting to wear out some Red Sox fans. Others, as we get in these situations, will stand up for Casas because he's just speaking his truth.
Yeah.
And you guys just are a bunch of haters if you don't want a guy to speak his truth. But it's drama, and it's all through no fault of Alex Bregman. Bregman just being a really good defensive player is the only thing that's causing any of this.
Causing it, yeah.
Yeah.
There's no argument Devers is the better offensive player than Bregman. Bregman,
right.
peak offensive Bregman has been gone for 5 years now. Like, he's not done anything – close to resembling what he did in 2019, where he almost won the MVP award. You know,
yeah. So Devers, though, the only real argument against it would be, all right, is Devers gonna be so challenged by playing second base that it hurts him at the plate? I suppose that's but from a team standpoint, no. It makes this isn't even close to when Jeter didn't want to go to third base when A-Rod got there, even though that's what he should have done if he actually cared about the team. But it's like there's a drastic difference between these two.
What's interesting about Cassis having that take is the talk is Devers would move to first base, which is Cassis' position, and so there's all kinds of moving parts with this whole thing. And the big thing is, like, does Devers want to be a DH? Incredibly, he does not want to be. He does not want his workload cut in half.
No.
I understand that part of it is just looking at yourself. I'm a baseball player. I want to play offense. I want to play defense.
It's fun. He has fun doing it. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Here's Alex Bregman.
At some point, now this is a thing. If Bregman manages to actually get off to a fast start this year, and then Devers commits three errors in his first 2 weeks or something, that's where there'd be no reason for the Red Sox fan base to be out on Bregman. Then it could get really interesting.
Yeah. Oh boy, the potential for you mix in what Alex Bregman's patterns have been with slow start. Yeah, this is an interesting soap opera.
This would be a lot more fun with this, and this would be a lot more fun for us if Bregman was more like Jeff Kent or something.
Oh yeah,
if he were kind of a known a-hole, and that he was part of the drama. But Bregman's going to take the high road on all of this.
He did. He took it yesterday. Here's Alex Bregman yesterday. His first non-press conference media session.
And he wanted to be the third baseman yesterday.
No, I'm super excited to just be his teammate. He's a great player. I think everybody in this clubhouse is worried about winning, and whatever it takes to help the team win, that's all I'm focused on. And I'll play wherever AC tells me to play.
What have your just conversations with him been like interactions, I guess, the first couple days here?
They've been great. We've been having a lot of fun. We've been taking ground balls back here, doing our work together, talking about winning, talking about baseball, talking about excited for the season. Last night we all got together, had dinner. It was great.
Because of that, were you maybe a little surprised that he kind of said the things that he said about...
No.
Is that the mentality the team wants a guy to have, like, this is my position, I want to fight for it, I want to keep it?
I think everybody here believes in their abilities, and I think all of us believe that if we all put together a good effort this season, we have a really good chance of being a winning baseball team. And for me, I can only talk for myself, but I'll play wherever that helps the team win.
You're known as just, a clubhouse leader and kind of a clubhouse guy too, obviously in addition to the stuff on the field, but like how important is it for you to just kind of make sure everything kind of gets off on the right foot and everything and just make sure it's...
I think everybody here has the right mentality right now. Everybody here in camp is focused on getting prepared for the season and getting ready to win games and working extremely hard. I mean, everybody is getting their work done every single day and getting prepared for the season. So I think we're doing a really good job of that so far through 2 days now.
It is interesting. I mean, like, Red Sox fans are getting a taste these first 3 days of exactly why they're paying. One of the reasons why they're paying Alex Bregman $40 million, like, for handling situations like this, like that. You know, like, That's what they're importing from the Astros clubhouse up there. Is Bregman's a great player, but they're importing that element of it too, where he is singularly focused on winning World Series championships.
A level of professionalism.
Yes.
And that just to hear Red Sox fans or radio hosts or anybody talk about, it sounds like a lot of what we've heard about the Red Sox over the last few years, it's kind of a mess in a lot of ways. So that's one of the reasons you bring him in here. Yeah, if you were a guy, part of the reason they're paying him $40 million per year And yes, I understand that some of that income is deferred, or a big chunk of it's deferred.
A lot of it is. I didn't realize that much of it.
Yeah. By the way, though, that's not as big a deal. Like, that's the money that's deferred is generally, I believe, still set in like an escrow account. So you're earning money. You can earn interest at the rate of inflation and everything. So it's not like the player is having it discounted by the time value of money.
I was really worried about Alex Bregman's financial situation. I'm glad it's in escrow.
Well, because it is, if you start stretching things out 20 years, inflation takes a bite out of a lot of that.
No question.
You know, the actual value of money. But it doesn't. It generally, I believe, unless they've changed it, rises at the rate of inflation.
Is this right? So he's getting paid till 2046, Alex Bregman?
Yeah. It's deferred a long time.
Wow, that's smart.
So it's smart. It's good for the team because it spreads out the luxury tax and all of that.
Yeah.
So it makes a lot of sense for the team and for the player. If it were just like, yeah, you were getting paid, I don't want to get too far into this. Anyway, the $40 million per year is $40 million per year.
Yeah.
They didn't spend $40 million per year on Bregman to come in and play second base, I don't think. It's a matter of time. They just got to try to massage it as much as they can.
I'm anxious to follow this, man, from afar. Yeah, we'll see. Someone says, Trey on the Jim Adler Texas Hammer text line, Trey Devers to Houston, done. No, I don't want to ever know. There's been a lot of chatter about like, hey, could the Astros make a deal for this guy or that guy? Like Vladimir Guerrero, for example. I was very surprised the Astros were so high up the odds board for Vlad Guerrero Jr., who didn't agree to a contract with the Blue Jays this week.
Right. And just the big question would be, all right, who are they going to trade or what would they pull off for Vlad Guerrero Jr.? And I don't know, maybe that's something that it's only 1 year of
Tucker. Yeah.
That's the big thing. Like, you're not going to trade Cam Smith for Vlad Guerrero Jr.
No,
I don't think.
No,
just because if you trade for Vlad Guerrero Jr. if you're making your one stab towards a championship, and I think the Astros have turned the corner on that type of move to where they're probably not going to be making those moves. Even I don't think there's a Kikuchi trade in the cards for the Astros this year.
Probably not involving Vlad Guerrero. I just don't think they got the prospects to get a Vlad Guerrero Jr. deal done, point blank. John Lopez, Reggie Atitula, they're both here. Hello. How are you guys doing?
Great.
Oh, so are we. So are we. Old Nick Caserio put us in a good mood today.
He was
playful. He was fun. We had a good time. Reggie texted me an interesting question after the interview, Seth, when we were talking about... Does Omar or somebody hand Nick these tweets and things like that, you know, or is Nick on social media?
Mm-hmm.
Reggie asked me, what all do you think gets fed to Caserio in his daily dossier from media relations? I would say definitely financial news in there. He's a big financial news junkie. He listens to a lot of finance podcasts. So oddly enough,
I don't think he gets that from the team people, though. That's kind of his own personal side.
Yeah, maybe, though.
You never know. Yeah, but I mean, look, when you got that kind of manpower ahead of you at your disposal, might as well put it to use,
right? Busy guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a busy guy. Certainly tweets that have things like Derek Stingley Jr. saying he wants to be a Texan for life.
For sure.
He had gotten wind of that, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe anything that one of the players is saying.
Oh, I think that's top of the list.
That would wind up on Nick's desk or his front porch, so to speak. Like, okay, you need to know.
Yeah,
you know, so and so was on this podcast and they said this or that, right? Yeah, the dossier.
I think every new Texans hire is told at some point by somebody who's been in the organization for a while, hey, let's stay away from, you might want to stay away from smart, tough, dependable. Because Kaylee came out of New England too, and there were a couple times where he almost ventured into it. He would say smart and
use
tough,
two of them.
And then something else after that. I do think smart, tough, and dependable is on a list of buzz phrases to be careful.
They've got like pages on the wall, kind of like we do with the FCC disclaimer at the top of each hour. Like I just have to read it off the wall, just a reminder all over the building. Like. Yeah, use one of them, maybe two. Do not use all three, okay?
Yeah, in the NFL locker rooms, they'll have a big thing about the placard with the PED policy just to remind everyone, like, hey, if you're thinking about going to take steroids in the bathroom, think again. Maybe they have something similar up in the coach's office.
Yes,
I don't know why that made me think of in high school when, like, coach would have up there in the urinals just like, hey, this is the color that your urine should look when you're hydrated.
Yeah, it's a Tom
championship
Herman.
Level.
Tom Herman, yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, championship level urination.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so there was one answer that Caserio had that led to y'all's question of the day.
It sure did.
Okay.
It sure did.
What answer, what question and subsequent answer moved you to make, to create a topic on the show
today? Yeah, that would be the question of the day. Which food or beverage could you write a thesis on?
Okay.
Nick Caserio went nearly 3 minutes on coffee.
On Seth's coffee question.
On coffee.
Yeah.
And I've got an answer, but I'm curious. We'll get to that at 10:20, but I'm curious on yours because, just spoiler alert, mine is cheese. And I will go into very, very detailed.
I would hate to be the professor grading that thesis.
Oh, A plus.
You think?
Oh, I could tell you all about cheese,
okay,
man.
Good. So you're going to do this on the air. You're going to lay out your thesis on cheese.
Yeah.
Mine would be nachos, I think. You know, the layering of nachos, the number of ingredients you could possibly put on nachos.
The
what's
mix.
Acceptable, the mix. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the layering is the big thing.
How many jalapenos?
Yeah. Or should there even be jalapenos?
Should there be sour cream?
Yes, yeah, yes. Yeah, things like that. Mm-hmm. It's the one food that I've pondered starting like a food truck for, like nachos, and just like different plates, different types of nachos.
Nacho mamas?
Macho nacho is what I would call it, yeah. Don't steal the idea, listeners, all right? Do you have one, Seth? Do you have a
particular? You know what? I wouldn't be able to give a dissertation on coffee itself, like the actual quality or different types of beans. But much like Nick, I could go into I had to muzzle myself to not continue the coffee conversation with him. Because when it comes to the strategy for drinking coffee and exactly when and why and where and calf versus decaf and all that, yeah, I could be annoyingly long on that.
Well, not a big shock that Nick had a system, right?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
He said he's on the same program. A program?
It wasn't much of a system.
That was my thing. I was listening, and I was like, I think he's leaning very heavily into, like, I am robot type guy, because I'm like, oh, so you have a coffee in the morning and the afternoon, like about 75% of Americans on the low end?
I was buying it hook, line, and sinker. Well, the one thing he did that not a lot of people do is he drinks coffee before he goes to bed, he said.
Yes.
He said he can. He doesn't usually, but he can, and it doesn't affect his sleep.
Yeah, that's impressive, man. Even when he does it on periodically. Yeah.
Why would you do that?
Taking that last shot at 4 a.m.
Push your limits.
He's like, why? Why am I? All right, yes.
Yep. Just to prove that you can.
All right, fellas. Have a great show.
Thanks,
we're looking
man.
Forward to listening to it. Seth, antibodies to you, my friend.
Oh, antibodies and all the whiskey to you, Sean.
Thank you.
I know, you're Irish.
That sounds good. Yeah. That sounds kind of good right now. All right, we're done. We are out of time. I read off of the placard on the wall.
Yeah.
You're listening to KILT AM, KILT FM HD2, Houston, an Odyssey sports station.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to 4 different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.